got several prayer requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Rob Weber, if you don't mind, to come and pray over these. Let's pray for the Wilson family. Prayer that God brings me back to the warrior I once was for Christ. Pam Altman turns that in. Altman and Wilson family. Sister Jan Hall has a testimony to share with us tonight. The test of the lymph nodes that under her arm there came out negative, just scar tissue, no cancer. Thank you for praying. So thank the Lord for that. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Brother Daniel Barclay is taking Matt Kincaid to the hospital, having some stomach problems. Sister Jan Winters is having a stress test, being scheduled for possibly placing a defibrillator, so let's remember that. Asking prayer for my daughter who is having problems with high blood pressure. Also, my niece is having blood clots and needs prayer. That's from Nadine Finch. Let's remember that. Brother Wade turns in a request. My first cousin, Albert Short, needs prayers in the hospital in Richlands, Virginia, having heart problems. And also, let's pray for Brother and Sister Baker, both at home not feeling well. So we got a lot to pray about, a lot to be thankful for. Happy to see Meredith back there. She's sore, but when we got the news of that evening, that was a scary thing. And we thank God for looking out for us and our children, no matter where we go. If you'll stand, Brother Rob gets ready to come tonight.
Once again, we come before you in prayer. Once again, we come as a body, and we are thankful, Lord, for what it is that you do for us daily. Thanksgiving in our hearts. We are taught to come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts, and so we do. We're thankful for the testimonies that have come, and we're thankful for the opportunities that lay before us. I pray, Lord God, help us to be more sincere. Help us to be more sincere when we come to church. Help it not to become too common. Help us to be able to come together with heartfelt sincerity, Lord, for the prayer requests that are made, the ones that are spoken, the ones that are unspoken. Father, help us to be more like you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
You can be seated. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I gain. Every Satan's gods and me are hurt. If the brothers would like to come and go ahead and get the offering tonight, let's sing Saved by Grace. Saved by Grace. And if the brothers would like, we got the band's going to come and do a song for us tonight, and they can go ahead and come. And I know it takes them a little bit to get set up there, and they can go ahead and be doing that. Let's just sing this song together. Well, I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. Jesus shined the light on me. He turned on my night to day. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. Gonna sing redemption's story, how he brought me to the other side. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. Gonna sing redemption's story, of how he brought us to the other side. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine or its sky. They turn. Yeah. may be my portion, whether through the flame or blood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Appreciate that song tonight. Makes me wish I had a radio so I could play something too. But let's just stand tonight. Brother Donnie will come, I guess, and introduce Brother Burley to us tonight. Let's sing that I'm Amazed. F, I believe.
I'm amazed that you love me.
The Lord for His grace to us tonight. Don't we appreciate all of His many blessings? I'm thankful for what I know that He does. I cannot imagine all that He does that I'm not even aware of. No wonder when we get there that day and we'll take a little journey back down through our life and He'll begin to unfold all kinds of things and we'll just be overwhelmed by all the things that He does. Don't you appreciate Him tonight? Let's just go straight into the Word, if you will. We're going to ask Brother Burley to come and speak for us tonight. We want to just open our hearts. How many come to church tonight expecting? Amen. Come to the needs in your life. Amen. You believe the Lord is mindful of all of that? Amen. And remember, the gift of God is part of God that God puts in a man's life. He studies, he prays, he tries to get thoughts together. And then when he steps up here, he has notes or an iPad or whatever it is that he's using. And he has some outline, direction. But you as the people of God have the ability to pull that man of God this way, that way. And he may stand there and think, wow, why am I going this or that? It's you doing it. It's you doing it. Because God has given you the ability. That's wonderful, isn't it? Let's sing it together again. I'm amazed. Our brother's done out here. He's ready. Amen. Amen. So we want to open our hearts tonight. Brother Burley, I've known him for many, many years. Certainly appreciate him and love him. I'm glad he could come and be with us tonight. Amen. So we'll just open our hearts to the Lord. Let's sing it together. I'm amazed that you love.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Yes. Appreciate the opportunity to be here, share the word of the Lord with you. Appreciate Brother Dunn allowing us to be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you will, we ain't too good at making a bunch of little speeches. I just like to get on into the word. Amen. It's just good to be here, to have my cousin to come up here with me, Brother Shell. Drove me up. It's nice that when you can go somewhere and somebody driving for you, you can sleep. I kind of like that. I really do. Amen. Let's just turn to our Bible to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. See, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. That's a pretty strong scripture there. Differ is nothing from a servant, though he is Lord of all. Amen. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. You know, I like that verse. It said it's not when he feel like something should be done. Right. The way he feel about it, it's the time of the appointed of the Father. Amen. So it's all in the Father's hands, right, not in his hands. Even so, we, when we was children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was up under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word. I just pray that you help us this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if the Lord would just help us this evening, I just want to just take a little thought. Tools for the tutor. Amen. Tools for the tutor. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's another scripture, what we're going to deal with here, which we were just talking about, Donnie, we're just dealing with the subject of adoption. And that is a big subject. It's a real big subject, many different ways and different avenues that you could take. But we just want to just focus on one thing this evening about tools for the tutor. And I want to deal with more dealing with character. Amen. Because remember, when we die, we leave this earth, the only thing you're going to take with you is your character. Whatever your character is now, it's going to show exactly where you're going. Amen. Y'all don't mind I be myself, do ya? I'm just one of those preachers. It's where it comes out. It just comes out. Praise the Lord. I just come here to be myself. I didn't come to try to preach like Brother Donnie. I'm going to preach just like Burley Williams. Can we say praise the Lord? That's the problem we got today. Too many impersonations. This is want to be like this, and it go back to the same problem Paul dealt with. One say I'm a Silas, one say I'm a Paul. Can we say, man, ain't nothing new under the sun. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's going to come to a time the bride of Jesus Christ is going to become so sensitive and so close to God, she'll be able to hear that voice, and she'll know what God want her to do with the word. And that takes dying, amen. That takes a lot of going through things in life, but it's for a purpose. Amen. So we just want to deal with some things about character. But, you know, just bear with me a minute. I just kind of want to just maybe lay a little foundation. Then we'll go to where I'm trying to get to. You know, the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 29, and it said, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Verse 18, Proverbs 29, 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, verse 19 is where I want to get to in verse 20. It says, a servant will not be corrected by words. Though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Now I want you to watch this scripture. It said, a servant will not be corrected by words. Though he understand, he will not answer. I want you to watch this. You know, I use a little parable, and I use my son when I deal with this thought here. I remember me and my son, we was working in my house and we were doing some renovations and we was beating the wall down and knocking stuff down. And I asked him, I said, go tear that wall down over there. You don't want to see what he was going to do. Now, anybody know anything about renovation and stuff? When you renovate something, you can tear something up and make it worse than a mess than what you're trying to do. But there's a way you can tear stuff down and be a good cleanup and be done with it. Are you with me? So I told him, I said, tear that wall down. He went over there and I began to watch him and another young fella. Man, they got that hammer and start poof, 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 poof. They start hitting that wall. I said, boy, look at them go. Dust flying everywhere. And before you know it, it was a big old pile laying on the floor. So I walked up to him and I looked at him. I picked up a sawzall and I found the joist and I just said, I set the sawzall down and got my hand behind the drywall. I said, a big old chunk come off the wall. I got that big old chunk of drywall. I went out to the outside and just threw it in the trash. I came back in. I was looking at them. Man, they were drenched with sweat. And now they got all of this stuff they got to pick up. And I just grabbed it. And I said, now, son, I looked at my son. I said, let me show you something, Jamaris. I said, there's a saying, work smarter, not harder. I said, did you see what I did? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, now you got it. I said, that's how you do it. He said, yes, sir. Now, for him to say, yes, sir, he was responding as a son. Now, if he had a complex in his life, and if he's already struggling with a lot of stuff, and if I would have said, work smarter, not harder, he would have responded, you call me a dummy. That's how he would have responded, because that would have been what's already in his heart. But because he is my son and was willing to listen, he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand, sir. But if he got that old servant attitude, you just called me a dummy. Can we say amen? That's why when the prophet of God preached, one said he called me an eagle. One said he called me a buzzard. Come on now. You see, it depends on what's inside of you. How you gonna take the services. Can we say praise the Lord? You sitting here all mad and complex up for yourself, and the Holy Spirit start coming talking about situations in the home. If you got that old servant attitude, you're gonna be like, who do he think he is? Who do he think he talking to? That's that old servant attitude. But if you are son and daughter of God, you say, Lord, thank you. I appreciate you, Lord. I know I'm wrong. Thank you. Can we say amen? You see, that servant will not be corrected by words, though he understand. So you can be telling somebody about the word and trying to correct them. They'll be doing like this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they won't respond back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. See, that's a servant attitude. That's not a son's attitude. Servant. Woo. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and give me a little bit of this Gatorade. It says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, how many of you believe we type Enoch? Now, if we have Enoch, if we type Enoch, we got to have that same testimony. He pleased God. Because that which comes to adoption where the father decided to give the son a ceremony, it means the son had came to a place he pleased his father. So I believe before the bride of Jesus Christ leaves out of here, she will have that same testimony. She pleased God. You see, most of us want to please the pastor. Want to please the church. Won't you just please God? Everything else will fall in place. Praise the Lord. Now, just follow with me here. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12 says, there is a generation that appear in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That's this generation. Everybody's pure in their own eyes, but has not been washed from their own filthiness, because they're not letting the word do the cleansing and washing them. They got their own religion feeling that they're okay. That's this generation. But then it says in Psalms chapter 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from God of his salvation. Then it said, remember, it's a generation that appear in their own eyes. But it says here in verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. Talking about two different generations. This is one generation got clear hands, pure heart. And there's another generation think they're pure and clean, but yet has not been washed from their filthiness. Two different generations. Are you with me? Amen. Let's just go on a little bit further here. Now, dealing with this situation, tools for the tutor. How many of you believe we're in adoption time? We're in a time of maturity where the church and the bride of Jesus Christ, she just knows what God wants her to do. Now, when we talk about adoption, a lot of times people get excited, get stirred up. Yeah. Woo. But when you start talking about the processes and the things you have to go through to get there, that's when people sit down on you. Can we say amen? It's kind of like one of those things a father go tell his son and say, son, I got about $800,000 in the bank and this house right here. Say, son, it's yours. Then the son gets so excited. The daddy tell him all of the promises that he's going to have. Son just get excited. Then he say, and when you get 30, you can get it. That lets all the air out. Can we say amen? It's kind of like when you start talking about adoption, talking about all the promises, the maturity, how you're going to speak things and do that. People get all excited. And then when you start talking about the new birth, you must be born again in character, it just sucks the air out of them. Let me explain something to you, friends. Let me just read a few quotes. I'm sure y'all don't mind that. Some churches you go down don't like for you to read quotes. I still read them. Amen. They shouldn't have invited me. Praise the Lord. I preaching to one church. I said, you know what? I said, I'm a message parakeet. You know, a parakeet, he repeats what he says. I said, but I'm a different type of parakeet. I said, a regular parakeet, you say, Charlie want a cracker. He said, Charlie want a cracker. I said, but if you ask him, what is a cracker? He can't say nothing. He can't explain it. I said, but I'm a message parakeet. I can repeat what was said and I can explain what was said because I understand what was said. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want you to just listen. We'll just listen to a few things here. In the message about the prophet God said, the position of a believer. In a family of man, is when a child was born in the family, as soon as the boy was born, he was the son of that family. The father loved him, of course. And then, if you get over in Galatians and so forth, you can read what the adoption and so forth, the placing of sons. He said, then the father had so much work to do over the whole kingdom, he placed a tutor, a teacher over the son. And the tutor brought word to the father as the time how the child was progressing. And the teacher, anyone knows what the Old Testament rule, a tutor. Paul speaks about the law being just a tutor to bring us to Christ, or an educator. He said, now the tutor began to watch the boy grow. He was a son, but yet the father, notice, he was a son, but yet the father didn't know what to do with him. He said, I know that's my son. But I don't even know what to do with the fella. His spirit is so restless and he always gets into something. He said, I don't know what to do with him. But he's my son. You see, adoption, amen, it's not your birth. We understand that. It's our placing. So we can all be here. We can have the Holy Spirit be a son of God. But if we so up and down, don't know who we are, God don't know what to do with us. He cannot place nothing in our hand and give us a responsibility. We would just be filling pews. I'm just reading the quote now. He said, the Father don't know what to do with him. Then he says here, his now as the tutor began to watch the barn. I just read that. Now as the tutor has been watching the children and the church, I'm sorry, what happened when the foot, I don't miss my quote here. He said, now the tutor has been watching the children and the church has been progressing. They seen the age of birth. You say born again. That's right. Correctly. You're just as much of the son you ever be when you're born again. But the tutor bringing word to the father, then it's the father, the tutor comes to the father, and the boy become about an age, about what a church ought to be now, comes of age, brightened up, seasoned, according to the time when the boy become of age, the tutor come to the father. And see, the boy being a son already, but yet, he wasn't a worthy son. Remember, it ain't what the son wants. It's the appointed time of the Father when he wants to exalt the Son. Can we say amen? He said now that Father could not adopt him or place him in his own family. He couldn't do it because the boy would run through what he had. He was a restless child. He didn't have the ability to carry on the Father's work. So the Father just let him go on as a son. He was already a son. So in other words, he said, if this son don't come to the place where the Father wanted him, he's still a son. But he never do nothing. I believe God called a bride in this last days to do something. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. He said, you see the boy being a son already, but he wasn't a worthy son. He said, now notice, but if he was a fine boy, he was about his father's business. That's the main key to me of adoption, is being about the father's business. Not our business, his business. Amen. And he says here, he said he's a fine son. He's eligible. He's all right. Then the father took the son out into the public place and have as a public testimony. He put a special robe on him, set him up before the people. And the father, by doing this, give the son the authority over his kingdom. I believe that with all of my heart. Like the prophet of God said, his name is just as good on the check as the father's name is. And that's what I believe. But now let's backtrack a little bit. Tools for the tutor. This is what I believe. I believe when the father, because we understand he find the best tutor that he can find. Someone that he can trust. And we know the tutor today is the Holy Spirit. But let's go in the natural. When that tutor gets the son, I do not believe when that tutor trains the son, he just got him sitting there reading a bunch of books and a bunch of quotes. I don't believe that. That just got something to do with it, but that ain't the whole thing. What that tutor got to do is get that son, because he come and take him out on the father's kingdom. That tutor got to take the son out to the people that he's going to reign over. He got to test him with the people. Can we say amen? So here's the tutor. Got his notebook, and there goes the son. They walking around in the kingdom. Tutor looking at the son. And all of a sudden the son sees some guys over there. Hey guys, how y'all doing? They might get a little arguing over there. He goes over there. Let me help y'all out. Then one of them subjects might be like, who you think you is? We don't need your help. And then the boy say, do you know who I am? Do you know who my daddy is? I'm his son, and you're going to talk to me like that? The tutor goes, strike. Strike. He's that boy ain't ready. Not a time go by. Somebody out there in the kingdom make the boy mad. He just best pits a fit. Ah, you don't talk to me. I'm my father's son. Tutor, strike. Because the tools of the tutor were sitting all around him. And that's what he was going to use to bring character in the boy. Now time go by, situation comes up, son growing now. And all of a sudden, people doing the same thing, son go over there, brothers, let me talk to y'all. Who do you think you is? Same thing goes over again, but this time the son say, I'm nobody no more than you, my brother. Only thing I'm going to do, I see it's a situation here, I just want to see what I can do to help out. Yeah. Tutor go, check. Some of you staring at me like, come on, get with it, man. I mean, I'm getting with it. If you just listen. Everything that is around you, the tutor uses it to mold your character. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be your children. It could be your coworker. He got tools all around you. And it's his business to choose which one he want to choose to work with you that day. Oh, we in the message. We go on our job because we in the message. Everybody else is sinners. Oh, you ain't in the message. You can't talk to me like that. What's wrong with you? I'm in the message. You might be in the message, but is it in you? Because if it's in you, it'll bring a character. Can we say praise the Lord? Oh. Turn me to 1 John chapter 2. Oh, I got a whole lot more to go with that one. Just hold on 1 second there. 1 John chapter 2. The prophet of God said the major sin of the day is worldliness. Some people look at that quote very lightly. I don't. It's going to all line up with the message. Because I got another quote. What he talks about the son getting called up to all this worldly stuff. Father can't adopt him. Listen, I want to read something controversial to many people of the day around the message. About what is worldliness and what is not worldliness. You know what I find out? Most people will call something worldly simply because they don't like it. Oh, that worldly. No, that worldly. Just because they don't like it. I learned one thing as a pastor. I can't tell somebody in my church something is worldly because I don't like it. I got to have something that I can have a foundation to show them why I think it's worldly. Can we say amen? Because our counsel and everything need to come out of the word. Amen. But then it might not be a bunch of jumping and shouting tonight. I'm just a little relaxed tonight. I feel pretty good. Because I don't have to shout at you to get my message across. I'm just feeling pretty good tonight. Amen. Now I want you to notice right here. Let's just read the scripture. It said, 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Usually, a lot of ministers stop right there, then they'll start telling you what is worldly and what is not worldly. But the Bible gives us a foundation to look at to prove what is worldly and what is not worldly. Are you with me? Listen what it says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now it's giving a basis, a foundation to prove what worldliness is. Let me explain something to you, friend. This is a scripture. You're going to have to be totally honest with yourself. Right here in the ending of the Bible, it talks about love, not the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then in the beginning of the Bible, with Eve, she fell all three of these. Then it comes in the middle of the Bible, the devil attacked Jesus with these same three things, and Jesus overcome all three. The prophet of God said he overcame his personal temptations by the word. I don't care what you're watching. What you looking at? What you listening to? If one of the three of those things is involved, the Bible considered it worldly. Now that ain't my interpretation. I'm just taking it right from the scriptures. Boy, they're going to get a little tight now, but that's okay. In the message, some say going to the football game is worldly. Then some say it's not. In the message. Some say golf is worldly. Some say it ain't. Some say basketball is worldly. Some say it ain't. In the message. Probably in the same church. Who's right? Who's right? And what are you basing it off of? I had a young fella come to me one time. He wanted to play basketball in school, and mama wouldn't let him. So he come to me and asked me. He said, "What do you think, Brother Burley?" I said, "Well, since I'm your pastor, I can answer that." Because you know how young people live. A lot of time when the parents say no, they want to try to find somebody to say yes. They can't get it out of the mama, they're going to go to grandmama and granddaddy. Can we say amen? That's just the nature of young people. That's what they do. So I asked them a question. I said, "I'm going to ask you a question." I said, "Let's just say you go and play basketball." I said, "Obviously, you're going to be very good." See, one thing about the devil, when you get wrapped in things like that, the devil makes sure you get good. Just to trap you and bind you more. I said, "Let's say you get good and all of a sudden everybody liking you and just giving you praise. Oh, I ain't going to call his name. Oh, just give you praise." I said, "Tell me, what is that going to do to you?" Is that going to give me a little pride? I said, "Really?" I said, "Now everybody love you and you so popular in school." I said, "Things going to start coming around you, girls." I said, "What they going to do to you?" I said, "That'll be lustful flesh." Now, "Oh, you can do this. You can go here. You can go to lust of the eye." I said, "Now out of the testimony of your own mouth, you got your answer." Some of you didn't clap, so you must be mad. I promise you one thing, friends. You remember the time, I think it was Elijah and his servant. He said, "They're all around us. Look all around us." Sure. And Elijah said, "There's more with us than it is with them." He like, what? He said, "Lord, open the boy's eyes so he can see." Can we say amen? When God opened up that young man's eye, did anything come up or did anything come down? No. He opened his eyes to what was already around him. He just seen in the other dimension. Can we say amen? And I promise you, in them football games and all these games, if God open your eyes, you won't see the pillar of fire. Oh my. Just like the prophet of God looking at the other dimension, seeing them shadows bouncing across the room. He was watching demon jump the demon on this different person. I promise you, you won't see the pillar of fire. Could you imagine the pillar of fire on a man with a beer can in his hand? No. Praise the Lord. Y'all just pray for my throat. I'm trying not to go too on my throat. Tools for the tutor. It's amazing how God do things to mold our character. One thing about trials and temptations, and when you're going through something, one thing I learned in life to get through it good is have the right attitude. Because the wrong attitude won't help nothing. But that right attitude will. There are some people, God actually molds you, molds your character through hardships. There's some people that seem like they got so many hardships in their life, and some don't. But that's God's business. He knows exactly what pressure to put on you Because he knows what character he's trying to get out. He knows that. When Brother Brandon began to talk about the message adoption, he made a statement. I'm just going to use this and we'll go on. He said, "Now I can't preach these things. There's too many different beliefs. This is church alone. I can't preach." He said, "But I got a right to preach whatever I want to. This is my tabernacle." You know, it tickles me when you get a lot of preachers, when you preach doctrinal things, they say you shouldn't preach doctrinal things at another person's church. They try to take a quote where Brother Brandon said, "I don't preach doctrine when I go out there." And he said, they try to take that quote, but let me tell you something. He was preaching to the denomination. Can we say praise the Lord? You got to understand the season Brother Brandon was in, dealing with denomination, He had this certain things he could not say. But far as I'm understood, this is the message church. So we got to rightfully divide that. Can we say amen? He said, but you know. He said, "I'm telling you, I believe them people are saved." He's talking about a certain thing. I believe it. But how the tabernacle, see, I'm telling you. He said, it is to walk when you know where you're walking. It is to know what you're doing. You see, instead of staggering, stumbling along, let's stand up in the light and walk in the light and know which way we're heading. That's true. The Lord be with you. And if each one of you in here has not been positionally placed, I tell you something. Positionally placed, people always thinking it got to be an office. They always think it got to be doing something great and everybody sees it. That ain't what he taught. That is not what he taught. People say, "Well, when I finally be a minister, then I'll be positioned to place." Right, you can find out now, just because you're a minister don't mean you're positioned to place. Look at many of them falling. We're talking about positionally placed, where God put you himself. Amen. Listen to what he says. You might not be nothing but a housewife. You mean tell me that's adoption? Yeah. Nothing but a housewife. How many of you housewives? Don't raise your hand. How many of you housewives in here? You sit in your house and them four walls start closing in. Then you, "I don't do nothing. That's all I do. That's all I do. I mean, you're nothing for the Lord. Maybe I need a job." Then I can do something. You know, Lord, if I had a job, I can testify to sisters on the women on the job. Then you could use me. But if God ordained you to be a housewife, I don't care whatever you try to do outside of that, you won't succeed. There's no way you can. But when you realize I am a housewife, that's when the power comes to run the house. When the walls start closing in, you push them back. Because now you know who you are. But when you start complaining, you haven't accepted the fact that's what you are, housewife. That's why you complain. I thought at least a couple sisters probably would have jumped up. Woo! Woo! A clap good enough. That's better than good enough. But watch this. You might not be nothing but a housewife. You say, "Brother Branham, I've never done a thing in my life. I'm not a preacher." He said, "Well, maybe God brought you here to raise a family of children. Out of that family of children may come another family of children. That'll be a preacher that'll send a million souls to Christ." He said, "You had to be there." You could be a housewife. And by being a housewife, raising your children right.
Right.
And out of that could come a missionary,
right,
a deacon, trustee.
Right.
But you know who will be credited for it? You. My son, he's in courtship and with a young lady. She sent me a text message yesterday. She said, "Brother Burley, thank you for raising a gentleman."
Amen.
That's a compliment, man.
Yes,
she said, "Thank you raising a gentleman." You see, you know the saddest thing I find around the message is broken homes. All tore up, but yet can come to church and smile and then go back home in misery. That ain't the message, friends. Some people can only overcome and feel like they're overcomers while they're in church. But when they get out there, script. That ain't the message. If I was to get a spider out here in Tennessee, go get a spider and get him, take him to China, guess what he'll do? He'll build the same web in China that he's building in South Carolina, Tennessee. Because that's what he is. So that tells me if I'm full of the Holy Spirit, I can live for Jesus anywhere I go. Anywhere I go, I still live the same. I'm getting some of your attention in a minute. You just keep following. I read an article last year, and I'm not saying this to be comical. I'm saying it to make a fact. I read an article of this Chinese man. I'm not trying to be funny, but it's true. This Chinese man sued his wife because the children come out ugly. This is a fact. He looking at himself. Hey, I'm a handsome guy. My wife is beautiful. What happened to this kid? He sued her and he won. Oh, but did you know why he won? He found out before he married her, she had plastic surgery. She beautiful now, ooh, my sweetie. But before that, plastic surgery, he wouldn't have thought that. You see, the plastic surgery can't change the gene. It is what it is. Can we say amen? You see, a lot of people in this message, they use it as plastic surgery. Come on now. But what's in you, what's really in there, it's going to keep coming out. Praise the Lord. But you got some people walking around the message plastered with quotes. You start rubbing that little Pentecostal kitty a little bit, you'll find out what's down inside of them then. I guarantee you, them quotes go poof, fly all off. And after they get through blasting you out, then they'll pass them back on. Can we go a little further? Timothy's grandmother, yes, sir. I promise you, it was nowhere in her mind. She was thinking, I'm going to raise my daughter right so it could produce a Timothy.
Sure.
That was nowhere in her mind. She just loved God. But by her loving God, raising Timothy's mother right, it produced the Timothy. She wasn't doing something. See, that's why you can't say, I'm going to raise my children. I want my boy to be a missionary. I want my daughter to marry a preacher and evangelist. You can't do that. But you got to raise them to love God.
Amen.
It's whatever he wants. Whatever he already know what they're going to be. But it's your job as a mother to raise them right. Oh, boy. You know what? You know, I think one of the most sacred things is in home. It's a kitchen table. You do eat at your table, don't you? If you don't got to a place in your family where the children won't eat at the table with you, they're just going to grab a plate and go to the room. Something wrong.
That's right.
something is wrong. If you got them, you sit at the table, they go, hit the plate and just walk off. Something wrong. Because at that table, that's where the children let everything out. At school, what's going on in school, what's going on in their life. That's the opportunity for you to have fellowship with the children at the table. But you know what we do at the table? Children sitting there. Did you see what she had on last week? I did see that too, honey. You know, and that preacher that came through, he said a harsh word, and the children like. The things that we say in front of children, teenagers, oh, they old enough to get it. If they ain't born again, they ain't going to understand things. But look what we do, the things that we say, and they listening. It's so amazing that all the little things that we overlook that molds our children. We overlook a lot of things that we shouldn't. Because if you're an adult, God give you a family. I like what Brother Branham said. Your children is not yours. God loaned them to you. We just borrowing them. He loaned them to us so we can raise them. Can we say amen? That is so, so important. I might always go ahead and say this too while it's on my heart. We living now with the younger generation. Our younger people. They're getting to a place they don't too much like to be identified with message. Saying message to Brother Branham. They kind of like it embarrassed a lot of them. Did you ever wonder why that is so though? Let me explain something to you. If you correct your child in your house. And you always say, this is my house, my rules, you do what we say, or you can just get out. This is my house. If you keep going that route, the older the child gets, they're going to resent you more, more, and more, because that's the way you're representing it. Then they're going to come to a time, what are you going to do? I'm moving out of your house. Oh, you're my baby, don't where you're going. You keep your house, your rules. You created a monster. That's what you did. You created a monster and they will resent you. But if you would say, no, we can't do this here according to the word of God. We put our house in order according to the word of God and this is the way we want. They won't resent that when you're bringing it from the Bible. Can we say amen? They won't resent it. Now, do you know why the younger generation resent Brother Branham? I'm going to tell you why. It's because of our fault. The prophet said you can't do that. The prophet said you can't do that. The prophet said no. The prophet. Now when they hear Brother Branham's name. Now, is it in the Bible? Is that Brother Branham's opinion? See, that's the way he's been presented that make people resent it. It ain't Brother Branham's fault. But we say the prophet of God said right here and he was going through the scripture right here where he got his thought. They won't resent that. But what we have done as adults, we're trying to push Brother Branham in him and then make him resent the prophet. And he ain't done nothing. So have some scriptures with your quotes. Can we say praise the Lord? That's what I find is happening amongst the young people. That's why I take them out and say, yes, sir. I know you've been taught thoroughly what a prophet is. I got no problem, no question about that. But I'm just talking about when it comes to the family. Brother Danny can't raise your children. Sending them to a youth camp can't raise them either. You raise them. That's right. You raise your child. That's right. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you get your children get more attached to another adult more than they do to you, something is wrong. The last time I read that quote, the prophet of God said, when children get a certain age, you become their buddy, not your sister, aunt, and grandmama. You become the buddy. I don't got off my message, but I'm going to have to keep on going. They got to preach it as it comes. Praise the Lord. What about us men? Help us, Lord. Raising a family is not how much you can scream at them and prove you got a job. That ain't it, friends. You see, one thing about life, there's a pressure on a man, there's a pressure on the wife. But coming into the family life is what brings maturity, when the husband understands the pressure and the wife understands the pressure, that we're both there to bear it and balance it. Can we say praise the Lord? Sometimes some sisters won't massage their husband unless they want a new dress. Want something new, a new appliance? Let me do your toes, honey. He said, oh yeah, that's it, right? All finished. Anything else? You know, the girls in the church talking about going shopping Saturday. That kills the whole massage. You cannot fall into a wife role and really be a wife to your husband just because you want something. Then it kicks in all of a sudden. And then when you get what you want, then it kicks out and you start treating them any kind of way. That ain't the way it goes. You gotta love that man when he's unlovable. Come on now. He might come home on that job, got all kind of spirits on him and just acting ornery that day. You still gotta love him. And guess what? You are the one that can break him and calm him down. Any brother in here will raise their hand and be honest. You have a hard day on your job. Everything don't went wrong. But when you get home, it's just certain things she could say. It just eases everything down and you forget about that job. That's the power that a sister possesses with her husband. She possesses that. And here's the challenging of it. When you try to calm him down, he act even worse. You still stand your ground and keep pouring that love on him. It'll start breaking him down. Yes, sir. Yeah. Can we say amen? Yeah. And before you know it, he came in like, duh. He come in, honey, I'm just so sorry I had a bad day on the job. I know I said something to you wrong. I shouldn't have done that. You did that. Yeah. Just by how you presented yourself to him. Yeah. But you know what problem we got? Husband come home from work in a bad spirit. He come in the house soon. He say something wrong. She say, what? Come on, man. You want to go a few rounds? Kills it. I hope y'all just ain't taking this for jokes. I sure hope you ain't. I am serious as can get, friends. I'm just showing you how we kill atmospheres, kill our homes, and our children sitting there watching every bit of that. Sometimes I got my way of finding things out. God forgive me if I'm wrong, but it's just me. Sometimes you go out and preach and you just mind your business, service is over, and something just start pushing your heart, and you might see somebody say, and the Lord say, something going on there. Go talk to him. Help him out. I said, man, I got a way I do things. See, one thing I learned about sisters, you can't hide them emotions. You can try hard as you want to do it. You just can't hide it. I walk up to some sisters sometimes and say, where that fine man of God your husband at? Soon as I say it, I watch her respond. I can tell there's something going on. She'll go, he over there. And then you can say, what that wonderful husband of yours. She said, oh, he's over there with the brothers. Everything going good. She just punt, because you know why she did? She want to be identified with him because everything going good. Men ain't much different. Hey, brother, how you doing? I'm
doing fine.
Brother, your wife got a good character.
Yeah.
That's all you get out of them.
Yeah.
You know something wrong. Because it ain't nothing wrong. Man, you got to, I bet your wife really prays. She got a good care. Man, I'm thankful for my wife. She reads, she prays. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy, happy. See, all these little things gives us away. And then we wonder what's wrong with the children. I'll be willing to bet any one of you, I'm not a gambler, you give me a little girl 3 years old, all I need to do is give her a baby doll and let her play with it. I'll tell you what's going on in your house. She's going to act out everything with that doll that goes on in your house. And you can't hide it. Oh, be quiet, boy. No, he's telling the truth. And then we say, adoption. Yeah. Maturity. Yeah. And these little bitty things. That's what saddens my heart. The attitudes and the characters and the things you see. Look what God done to Hannah. Samuel's mother. She got picked at. She got scorned. But what was going on? Hannah did not know Israel needed a prophet. And through her hardships and through her labors was producing a Samuel. God allowed her to go through that to produce a Samuel for the children of Israel. So the things that you go through in your life, your hardship, God is using you to produce something to help somebody else if you take it the right way. Can we say praise the Lord? He took her through hardships just to bring that out of her. We can go back even through Brother Branham's life, the hardships, everything that he went through. Then you find up when he come up into the 60s, you don't see him being persuaded by men no more. But back in his early of his ministry, man could talk him into doing things. That was for his maturity. And it was done through a prophet to be an example to show you and me to not follow man, follow God. Don't make the mistakes I made. Follow God. Be obedient to what he tells you. It's for our learning. And it's for our teaching. Can we say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Twos of the tutor. Brother, I ain't going to finish this. I can tell you right now, I ain't going to finish this, brother. Right. Let me just say a few more things. I'm going to let you go. Isn't it amazing? God could allow you, sisters, to raise your son. And you're raising a son, then he wind up being a preacher and rebuke you. That's serious. But you done your part. Look what's going on with our young people. Look what's going on with their minds now. Anxious to get married. Can't wait to get married. Rushing to get married because their friend getting married. Now they come to play. I gotta get married. Don't let nobody rush you to get married, young people. You wait on God's timing. It'll all fall right in the slot. But first, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and it'll fall right. And I'll add unto you these things. Can we say praise the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you something, young people. It's very, very important to listen to the... You see, I'm going to tell you, excuse me if I'm wrong, Brother Danny, but I got to say this. But what makes a church so strong, spiritually strong, when a husband of the home can take what the pastor said and stand behind it with his family. Because what hurts a family when the pastor preaches something and the daddy disagrees with it, he's going to sit at the kitchen table and tell what he disagreed with the pastor. Right. Then what that's going to do, bring resentment through the child. The child going to look at the pastor. Yeah. Yeah. Because of what daddy did. Amen. If you ever got a disagreement with your pastor, you should never tell your family. Go to the pastor. Amen. Is that correct? You and him alone, suss it out. And your family never had to know nothing. But of course you got man today. Well, honey, I did talk to him and I did straighten him out. Yeah, I just laid that word out on him. You did, dear. Nonsense. That's nonsense is what that is. Because I'm going to tell you, one thing that's been missing in church life today is the understanding of things working as a body and with unity, with a vision and one goal. What's going to happen, you got different families sitting in the church and they're their own little church when they go home. That breaks unity. And whether you want to believe it or not, the children, it affects them without them knowing it, but it shows that it affects them through their actions. You get a deacon in church, man, he think he owns church. And he doing it in the wrong way. Guess what? His son going to do the same thing amongst the young people. Because that spirit pops off his dad and pops on him. Now he want to control the young people. Woo, preach, preacher. Preach, preacher. I'm just telling you facts. You get a sister that's a babbler, falls on her daughter when she with a young girl, she do the same thing. Because the spirit in your house is what you bring to church. But then I don't know if you're going to have me back no more, brother. I'm just being honest now. I'm just being honest with you. But it's character.
Amen.
And God used all these little things in our life with our children, family life, work life, tools he used to mold us. To mold that character. That's what God does. But we got to be sensitive to it. To see what he's doing in our personal lives. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
And I'm going to tell you this. Whatever you're reading, watching, or hearing. If any one of them three things, I want to go back to that, is involved. That's worldliness. Now be honest with yourself. Look at the music we got today. I tell you, you get these little kids, man. They crank up them guitars and music. Them kids, you see them bouncing. They get that little monstrous looking faces on their face, man. They want to kill somebody. You know what's making them do that? It's that guitar. Because of them chords that being stroked. And it can be gospel word. It makes no difference. That child going to pick it up in another way. What's coming from behind that music? And now we got to watch what we let be played in our houses. Can we say praise the Lord? I know y'all want to hear some deep revelation. I got plenty of it, but I ain't here to prove nothing. But I'm preaching right what he want me to share with you tonight. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. I'll say this. I like to see character in young men. It's our fathers, it's our job to be an example to our sons, to let them be gentlemen. Gentlemen. I was up in Rarotonga preaching to some young people, and one young boy got mad at me. Do you young girls, I don't know how it is up here, but I'm going to tell you this, all the slang language that goes on now, it get worse and worse and worse. Every year. How many of y'all ever heard this saying, young people? Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand. Well, some of you old adults still, raise your hand. You know what the devil did to you? He turned you into a rapper. He slipped under you that quick. You think it's just a saying, but when you say that, what do? Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Huh? Come on now. That easy. He slipped right in. To mold you to be confined to this world. Run and tell that, run and tell that, we gonna find you. You don't sit down, you say that, you rock your head, well, that quick. Only thing that doing is setting you up for the other music to come. By way of two Facebook. Black or rock. I'm going to tell you right now, friends. You get some families leave the message. When they leave this message, they make sure they post their vacations on Facebook. On the beach. Selfie. And now you still in church. Y'all young people sitting in church on Facebook hours looking at that. Then here comes the devil. Man, since they left the message, they really having fun. What are you doing? And all of a sudden you look around. It's boring around here. All of these friends is nothing but tactics of the devil. Now, that ain't tools for the tutor. That's tools for the devil. But you got to catch these things. What these cell phones has done, I'm almost finished. Cell phones, smartphones have took power away from parents. And placed it in the children's hand. I'm going to say something, you're going to probably turn red and get mad at me. But I'm going to say it. This is what I believe. I don't believe no young man has a right to text a young girl without the father's consent. That's wrong. The message don't teach dating. The message don't teach tryouts. The message don't teach sampling. It teach courtship. That's what it teaches. If you are a gentleman, talk right. A gentleman. If you're interested in a young girl, you won't have no problem going straight to her daddy. Now, some of them do take the cowardly way. They'll talk to the pastor. Oh, pastor, I was just wondering, you know, I like this young girl. Could you maybe talk to her dad for me? No. You go talk to him yourself. Can we say praise the Lord? One of the greatest challenges, that one thing I've seen in the Bible, it was with Saul. You know, Saul had all these captains, these young men following behind him in his army. You ain't gonna tell me them young boys were not looking at Saul's daughter. Because they kind of use the way it goes. Look at the pastor daughter, deacon daughter, trustee daughter, and they just go down the line. Oh, look at her. Wow, I just want to marry her. Julie. Then that day came. Saul said, whoever go down and defeat Goliath, she's yours. Then all them dreams they had. They look at Goliath. They look at her. Look at Goliath. Look at her. Then they look at Goliath. And they say, you ain't worth that. You see, young man, her daddy is a Goliath you got to get past. And he has a right to ask you questions. Let me get back. I just caught my thought. I was over there in Rarotonga. I made a statement. I said, where is dignity and integrity? Where is it now? I said, young man, I said, what right do you have to communicate with a man's daughter? He done raised her, done protected her, and you just slip in like you can just do whatever you want. I said, what gives you that right? That is so disrespectful. And I said, young girl, I said, when these boys ain't got, they up to no good. And they come talking to you, yo, what's up, girl? What's going on, shawty? Them young people, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. That is that's slander. They're actually not, they're disrespecting your womanhood, calling you those slander names. Come on now. I told those young girls, when a young boy come to you like that, I said, do me a favor. Tell him God don't give you trash. I preached that at my church. You remember Rachel in the church? Rachel was about 12 years old. Rachel was in school, just walking. The little boy come up to her, trying to talk to her. She said, my God, don't give me junk. That boy took around and went the other way. Same thing with you, young man. These little Jezebel coming and say, my God, don't give me junk. Then one little young boy got mad at me. Some of you probably just got mad too. The young boy come up to me. I said, what'd you get out of the service today? Girl might call you trash. I said, oh yeah, that's what you got? Yeah. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you ain't up to no good and you want to talk to a daughter of God and ain't got nothing wrong thing on your mind. I said, that's what you are, trash. I said, well, let me tell you something, friend. I said, if you are a gentleman, full of the Holy Spirit, you treat her like a gentleman, she won't call you trash, she'll call you a gentleman. I said, now how are you going to resent, how you put yourself out there? I said, that's what you're called. And then he did like the spirit broke off of me. He shook my hand. But there we go. We broke that spirit. Praise the Lord. These things are very important, friends. They are very important. That's why I tell the young people, get out of your little cliques. Can we say amen? Yo, it's easy to spot out cliques. It's easy to spot out cliques. Because when you see cliques, they all have the same hairdo, same dress. They just act alike. And I tell you, there's a leader to the clique. And usually the leader is the ones that are not right. Ooh. Ooh. That right below the fifth rib. Ooh. But it's the truth. I'm expressing to you from my heart, friends. Those things shouldn't be. Any adult in here that don't have such a terrible life, went through a lot of things in life, they wish they could have been sitting where you're sitting at right now when you're at your age. And I do everything I can, by God's grace, just to get young people to look. Just don't go being curious and experimenting. Listen to the word. Get an experience with God, then you will be corrected by the word. But until then, if there's no experience there, you have servant attitude. I'm trying to ruin, they're trying to ruin my life. Tell me what to do. I'm gone. That's servant attitudes, friends. But if you would just listen to counsel, you can have a healthy marriage, happy marriage. Because in marriage itself, problems are going to come with it in the beginning. It's going to be problems. Because when you get married, friends, when you come off that honeymoon, it's two different households clash. But keep the honey on the moon. Don't let that fall off now. We don't do it like that. That ain't the way we did it. That ain't the way mom and daddy did it. Or that. You know, say, oh, forget what you done at your house. I forget what I done at mine. Let's come together and see what we're going to do here. Some young guys, they just don't have no wisdom at all. Wife cooks something, and they make the crucial mistake. That ain't the way my mama cooked it. That sounds like a frying pan coming across the table. No, you can't do that. You can't do that, brother. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, me and my wife joke, we joke about it till today when we first got married. Lord have mercy. I thought I was an altar. She gave me a lot of burnt offerings. I'm telling you, man. But she's the best cook in the world now, but I was a guinea pig. But do you know why? We both came out of homes where we wasn't trained right. We were just young, upon the wrong ministry. We just didn't know. And it caused a lot of pain and hardships. And you know how I learned to treat my wife? By watching my pastor. How he treated his. Because I didn't have a father in my life, but I would watch the pastor. I watched some of the elder brothers in the church. I said, I need to work on that. I need to work on that. Because when I got married, as far as I knew, give her some money, let her shop, you got no problems. But I found out that don't work. But that's all I knew. But to the day, she's one of the best cooks on the face of the earth, and I love my wife. But we went through hardships to get to where we got now. And that's why we try to get to you young people. Just listen. Just listen to the Spirit of God. God will bless you. And I'm here to tell every one of you young girls, full of the Holy Spirit, not a one of you is ugly.
Amen.
Not a one of you. Don't never let nobody, don't never feel that you're ugly and not attractive. Because if you think like that, it's going to put a spirit on you. Then it's going to become a lust of the flesh. You'll start doing things outwardly to try to attract the man. You are beautiful to somebody. If you got a desire to be married, the reason why it's there, God put it there, and he's there somewhere, she's there somewhere. God will bring it together if you do the right thing. That's all you have to do. Can we say amen? I tell you, most of the young girls, they look for the cute boy in the church. Mr. Cute. And you know what? You get some of these cute boys in church, they know they got it, man. They walk around. Yo, what's up, guys? He just know you're cute. And all of the girls, there he goes. Oh, he passed by us. Oh. What messed up you, young girl? What messed you, young girls, up so bad? You get into fantasy worlds, and you claim a boy that might not even be yours. Now you don't create a fantasy. Can I say one more thing? I'm almost done, brother. Just one more. Have anybody in here ever played with Lego blocks? Raise your hand. Lego blocks. Raise your hand up high. What did you build with it? Lots of stuff. What did you build with it?
House.
What did you build with it? Airplane, car, house, lots of stuff. Right? How many of you ever put a jigsaw puzzle together? Raise your hand. What did you build with it? You can only build what is in the box. You see, Lego blocks is imagination. You can build whatever you imagine. But a jigsaw puzzle is predestination. That's why I'm here to tell you. You need to throw your Lego block revelation right out the door. Get a relationship with God. He'll bring every puzzle that's in your life need to be there. He'll do it piece by piece. When you got them Lego block imaginations, ooh, I see me and him, 2-story house, 2 cars, swimming pool. That's Lego block. Imagination. You see, there's a lot of preachers got Lego block imagination too. Lego block revelation. They imagine anything. But you know that jigsaw puzzle? I'm going to say this in closing. Musicians could come. When that jigsaw puzzle, when you get that box, you open it. I'm talking about someone with 1,000 pieces. Immediately you see pieces in there that didn't fall off. They still stuck together. You pick them up and you set them down. You'll find all of those Right? Then now you're looking for straight edges and corners.
Right.
That kind of goes a little quick.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's just COD. Yes. Conduct, order, and doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Good time.
Good.
But now when you got all that laying there, when it comes to Christ, the mystery of God revealed, now you got to pick that box up.
Yes.
Look at that picture.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at pieces.
Yes, sir.
Trying, because you got a picture set before you.
Yes, sir.
Now you're looking for the piece to fit.
Right.
That takes time, but you got an example.
Yes, sir.
To look at.
Amen.
To find where they go.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Because
the thing that you're looking for is that last piece.
Yes.
And that's the easiest one. When it start thinning down. Oh, yeah. That last piece. Can we say amen?
Yes.
Let me tell you, that's why a young girl, young boy, get born again,
right.
A true experience with God, he'll start bringing pieces in your life that was already, see, when a jigsaw puzzle, everything is pre-cut. You ain't got to chisel nothing to make it fit. It's pre-cut. It'll fall in its place. Can we say amen? That's the same thing happened at Solomon's temple. It was a big old jigsaw puzzle coming from different places, and everything was fitting. Can we say amen? That's why I'm looking for that day when he calls us up. You're going to have a piece of puzzle come from Tennessee, come from South Carolina, come from Africa. All of them are going to come up, and you're going to make the body of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But now my heart goes out to you young people. Seek God.
Amen.
There's a puzzle laying there. Or him. Or she.
Yeah.
But whenever you're seeking God, it'll clench just right when it comes. Because it'll be his spirit bringing everything together in your life. If you just trust in him.
Yeah.
People's lives are tore up just because they lost faith in God. Never lose your faith in him. Never lose your faith in the word of the day, in this hour that God has sent us. It's been proven. And it's been proven over and over and over again. Regardless of what any critics say, it makes no difference. It's been proven. This is the truth. You know what? This is not a truth. This is the truth. May the Lord bless you. Can we give him a hand? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us just pray. With heads bowed down. I just want to ask you a question with your heads bowed. How many of you feel this evening that the Lord spoke directly to you? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, it's so amazing how many times you can have notes and have thoughts and a way that you want to go. But we learn that through the years, though we have notes, that's fine. But make sure our hearts is neutral and that we'll follow the leading of your Holy Spirit. And I see what you're doing here tonight, Father. Lord, there are some here got family situations. Young people in a crossroads trying to find which way to go. But I believe you give them enough things that they can hear it tonight, that they can take these words and just apply them to their own life, and they could change situations and circumstances. But they just got to be 100% honest with themselves. And Father, we just come here, Lord, as a brother, putting our shoulder with the ministry here, not to lift up no one, not ourselves, but to lift you up, Lord, so that people could just look into the word, or the word that you give us in this hour, that it shouldn't be not no demon, no spirit, or nothing that conquers us, but we conquer them.
Hallelujah.
And it's not how much we scream and shout, Lord. It's just simply by having revelation, true revelation in our lives. And like it says in the book of Hebrews, those that are mature are be able to have their senses exercised to discern what is right and wrong, good and evil. Lord, we don't need to be in a hurry. We just need to be convinced and concerned that this is the truth. Because the enemy, like the prophet said, He tried to destroy the word. If he can destroy the confidence of the word, he could get to the people. But Lord, we're standing amongst the people that believe. I pray for these young people here, Lord, knowing the things that the devil have put out there on these social medias that attracts their attention, that attract their flesh, and they get trapped in the web. But I pray, God, that they would just take the word of God and start snipping those webs off from around them so they can realize that I'm a son and daughter of God and I don't have to bow down to the enemy. I pray that you bless them, Father. And I just want to commit everything to you, Lord Jesus, in your hand. We thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If anybody need prayer tonight, we'll be glad to pray with you. I'm not in no hurry, but I'm not the one that probably pull you, because there got to be something in there that pulls you. We sure would be happy to pray with you. We don't want to leave that out. But I'm here to tell you from sincerity of my heart, many things I can just point out, just point her out, but I won't do that by God's grace, because enough been said. Young people, I love you. I love young people. My heart goes out to them, because I see so much potential in your lives and the devil want to ruin it. Don't let him do it to you. Love God. Lay in this message. Lay in their Bible. Lay in it. Pray. That's where your strength is at, right there. Some people say, I'm struggling, I'm battling, but don't even pray. Don't even read. They just want somebody to wave a magic wand and do away with your trials. That won't happen. You got to come to a place in your life you can deal with your own situation by the word of God. Your parents ain't going to always be there. Your pastor ain't always going to be there. But he promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lay in the word of God. God bless you. Well done.
So what do you think? Should we have him back? Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the word of God, don't you? I just love it when the Lord just lays it on men's hearts. They walk in here, they don't know nothing about us, nothing about what we're going through, and the Spirit of God will just take them through a maze of people's lives and what they're dealing with and what they're going through. And the man just standing there thinking, Lord, why am I going this way? This church don't need that. If he's having it said, this church needs it. Amen. We got little sister who wants to be baptized tonight. If they'll come prepare for that, Job, let's stand together if you would. Praise be to God. Oh, thank the Lord. I so appreciate the word. I want my life to be like that puzzle he was talking about, don't you? All them parts cut out. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, why am I going through this? And why is this going on and that going on? But I appreciate the Lord speaking to us and helping us to see. There's nothing out of control. He's got it all in control. He's watching over us. He's ordained us for this time. And we are not going to fail by God's grace. Amen. So appreciate his grace. Brother Joel, come sing something for us, brother. Amen. We so appreciate the goodness of God. You appreciate one another.
Amen.
Appreciate the ministry of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Appreciate our brother bringing Brother Birdie by tonight. Driving, letting him sleep. Amen. So appreciate it.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father.
For giving to thy salvation full and free.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Aren't you glad for that?
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes,
giving to me. Let's say life salvation. Life salvation, full and free.
Kaziah McCoy, her parents said she's been asking last month or two about getting baptized, and they asked her why, and she said because she wanted Jesus to come in her heart. That's the simplicity of God. It don't take any more than that.
Amen.
Brother Branham was baptizing a little girl one time. He said someone said she was too young. She don't know what she's doing. He said he told him, she knows when she does wrong.
Yeah.
She knows when she does something right.
Yeah.
The thing that struck me the most is he said, if I forbid her to be baptized, if something happened to her, her blood is on my hands.
Yeah.
So bear that in mind when your child comes and tells you they want to be baptized. Make sure you're seeking the Lord with them, but just let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Father.
Yeah.
Lord, when you said, whosoever come, Lord. Lord, you said you gave your only begotten Son, Lord. That was to all men, that you would all men be saved, Lord. But there was elect few, Father. So you said you would come abide in them and live in them and live through them, Lord. And Lord, when you said that, you was no respecter of age, Father. Lord, as our brother spoke tonight, Lord, may that character, Lord, be found in our little sister, Lord. May the tutor cover her life, Lord, as she goes from this day forward, Lord. May she seek the Holy Ghost in her soul, Father. Lord, as your father was telling me the other day, ever since she said that, he said, I've noticed such a change in her life. Lord, just her actions, everything she does, Lord, he says, just like a different little person. Lord, we're so thankful, Father, that it's you that can make a change in us, Lord. Lord, as we baptize our sister tonight, Lord, I pray that you come live in her, seal yourself in her soul, Lord, and carry her through the day of redemption, Father. We thank you for that. Kaziah, baptize you now is commissioned Acts 2:38. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We may think the last one might be 50 years old. We might think the last one 70. Could be one like this. The last one could be one just like this. Amen. Oh, I'll be glad myself when the last one's brought in. I'm sick of this old world. I'm ready to leave. Brother Burley actually came up for two reasons. He came up to speak for us, but they've relocated into another facility. And I was needing some speakers, PA equipment, things like that. So we had some extra stuff that we wanted to help them with. So after service, they'll be pulling a vehicle around the front there to the fellowship hall door. And some of you brothers that would like to help us load that stuff up. But just be really careful as far as your children, because they're going to bring the vehicle. Did you bring a truck, Brother Bernie? Brought a truck? Okay, so we'll just back that truck up by the door. So if you Deacon brothers will help us get the vehicle there and just kind of watch your children. We certainly don't want anybody hurt. Lord willing, we'll be having service again in the morning. See what the tutor has in his tool bag. Praise the Lord. Brother Burley, thank you, Betty. Appreciate you coming by. Pretty good preacher tonight. Have to hear me in the morning. So, sing for us, Brother Joel. God bless you.
Let's just take this song with us as we go. Heard about a Christian man who beat his wife and child, was sweet at church, but privately was wild. Message song, you all know it. And someone spoke out bitter against the man of God. It split the church, but everyone chose sides. There's a God who's watching you, and a world who's watching too. Ask yourself this question, think it through. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Jesus' wife, who you claim to be, if you choose to wear this name, then I pray don't bring it shame. Please look and see. Is your life worthy? A woman claims to speak in tongues while dressing to appeal. She failed to sit and seek for something real. If you choose to wear this name, then I pray don't bring it shame. Ask yourself this question and think it through. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Jesus' bride, who you claim to be, if you choose to wear this name, then I pray don't bring it shame. Stop, look and see. Please look and see. Please, please look and see. Is your life worthy?
A clean heart. Oh.
oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, the joy of thy salvation, oh, and renew right spirit within me, create in me, oh, create in me.
He's the only one that can do that.
Oh, God, and renew a right spirit within. Spirit that you gave me away, restore unto me the joy that I had with you when I first met you, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away, cast me not away, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Salvation, and renew right spirit within me. I love you, Lord. Let's just worship a while. Can we do that? And I lift my voice to worship.
What else are you going to worship? What else are you going to give your adoration to?
Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you sound in your ears.
Sing it one more time.
I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Do you really love him?
And I to worship you and you and you alone, oh my soul. Hallelujah. In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet, sweet sound in your ears. And then I hear this song. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. How many's been there? Oh my. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groan deep within. It's gotta be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel a little pull. I feel the pull. Oh, I hear the call. And I feel His Spirit, not just to give a little bit, but to give my all. He speaks to me in a still small voice, and I agree. Come and take. Jesus. Then I wait to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, He was calling me to give just a little more than yesterday. There's a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure it must be God. I feel a little strange pull. I feel. Spirit is moving me. Don't just give your all. He speaks to me. and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. God bless you if you need to go. I feel the pull. And then I hear, oh, and I know it must be you, Lord, telling me just to give over and give your all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Come and take control. I feel.